Hebrew by Professor Katzen and another article, which unfortunately they chose not to translate and therefore is not included in the book, but I did Xerox it for you and it's part of the handout, and that is the impact of the Zohar on the issue of whether or not we put on tefillin during Kol HaMoed. That's the article by Professor Katz, Tefillin Shel Kol HaMoed.
And that's where we are.
That was on my page 210 from last time it came out. Some copies left over at last time. And, those who forgot to bring, but my, not that. No. So there may be not be any more copies, but I don't know. No, there should be in my congratulations. For tonight. Why don't we remove that from the table so that it doesn't confuse people? And we will spend most, if not all, of the evening going through Professor Katz's article on Tefillin Shel Kol HaMoed. But first, there's some preliminary issues which I think are quite relevant, which Professor Katz does not mention. And I think that they're important and they're extremely related to the problem that he does discuss. So let's look at, first of all, page 222 of tonight's handout. First citation is from Gemara and Shabbos. It says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol mitzvah shemasru Yisrael atzman alehem lemita v'sha'at zera amalkot. Any mitzvah which the Jews were willing to sacrifice themselves for in times of an evil edict, kagon avodat kofarim u'mila, such as refusal to bow down to idols, or performing the mitzvah u'mila, adayin hi mochzeket v'yadam, they are still being observed. V'chol mitzvah shelo masru Yisrael atzman olehem l'mita, all commandments which Jews were not willing to lay down their lives for, בשעת גזירת המלכות at the time of the Elite Olympic, כגון תפילין, עדיין היא מרופה בידם. Those mitzvot are not so firmly established. So אמר רבי ינאי, תפילין צריכים גוף נקי כאלישה בין כנפיים. מהי? An excuse that people use not to put on tefillin is that tefillin require a clean body, and I like Alisha Bantnafayim, and what does that mean to maintain a clean body? Amar Abaye shelo yafiach b'hem, that he shouldn't pass gas while wearing tefillin. Rava amar shelo yishan b'hem. Rava says that a person shouldn't fall asleep while wearing his tefillin. V'amai kawalo Alisha Bantnafayim, etc., etc. I will shapar machat into the story. Let's pass down to the next citation, which is earlier in the Gemara in Shabbat. Gemara amar Abiyanai. Tefillin tzrichin guf naki ke'alisha bal knafayim, ma'hi amar abaye shelo yafiach behem, rava am shelo yishan behem, va'amai kore le'bal knafayim. Why was he called Elisha, the master of the wing? Shepam achat gazva malchut romi harshara gzera al Yisrael, shekol hameniach tefillin yinakru et molcho. They passed an evil edict that anyone who would put on tefillin will have his head broken. Elisha would put on the tefillin and actually go out into the marketplace. Some policeman saw him. He ran after him. He took the tefillin off his head and put them in his hand. I'm holding pigeon's wings. The miracle occurred. And when he opened his hands, instead of having his tefillin in his hands, he had the feathers of a dove. L'fichach kavu oto Elisha b'knai. U'mayshna kanfei yona misha'ofot, mishum de'amad until Knesset Yisrael yod liyona. Because the house of Israel is portrayed as a dove, shene emar, kanfo yona, etc., etc. Now let's take a look at Tosfot on the same Gemara. Ka'alisha bal kanafayim. Lahachi nakat alisha. The Gemara cites alisha, the nestama, because presumably כיוון שנעשה לא נס בתפילין, since a miracle occurred with him in conjunction with the tefillin, היה זהור בהם, והיה לו גוף נקי. And he therefore must fulfill, been especially careful about the mitzvah of tefillin, and undoubtedly he had a clean body. ומזה הטעם, from this reason, אין אנו יכולים להיפטר. We cannot excuse ourselves so as not to wear tefillin from this reason that you can't keep a clean body. שהרי בזה אנו יכולים להיזהר. After all, we can be careful when we're wearing the tefillin. ואין תמה על מה שמצווה זאת רפויה בימינו. And it's no surprise that this mitzvah, the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, is not observed very well amongst us. שגם בימי חכמים, even at the time of the Gemara, הייתה רפויה. The mitzvah was in a weak state. כדתניה בפרק רבי אליעזר דמילה, ורבי שמעון בן אלעזר אומר, כל מצווה שלא מסרו עצמן ישראל עליהם בשעת גזירת המלכות, any mitzvah which Jews were not willing to lay their lives down for at the time of the evil edicts of the government, כגון תפילין, עדיין יהיו רפויה בידם. והודי אמרינן בפרק כמה דראש השנה פושעי ישראל בגופן קרקפת ללא מנח תפילין. What does it mean that someone who's a posheya, an evildoer with his body, someone who doesn't put on tefillin? Omer Rabbein Tam, the Ma'arvi Otan Sha'osan Machmad Merit, those who refuse to wear tefillin because of rebellion, Muvazin HaMitzvot, Sochakin V'Ritzua Shabi Adam V'Rosham, and they make fun of the straps in their hands and on the head, Kiri Amin V'Yerab Sha'im Elo HaMardin. But therefore, the conclusion being that a normal person who doesn't put on tefillin, that's not such a serious matter. And in fact, the conclusion is that in the time of Tosfot, the mitzvah of tefillin was not very well observed. Why didn't why don't people wear tefillin because of cheaters? It's not reasonable to say that because some people were cheaters, therefore they refrained from performing a mitzvah. Ela haki pehusha. Mipnei ma lo hizikun ne'emanut ba'adam ha'meniach tefillin. Why don't we believe a person who's so religious that he's wearing tefillin? V'kama'a mipnei ha'ramayim. Because of people who were cheaters. Sha'ayom enichim tefillin l'ramot b'nei adam. They would put on tefillin to appear as if they're pious, but in fact they're liars. To mefareshatam, as it is explained there, ma'aseh b'talmid echad she'kid ma'otav eitzel echad she'ayah maniach tefillin. He left his money with someone who was wearing tefillin for safeguarding purposes. Kishetavabo amar lo hayu dvarim me'olam. You never gave me any money. Amar le otav talmid lo. I didn't lead them with you. I trusted you because I saw that you were wearing tefillin. So that therefore, the Tosafot says that there's no reason not to wear tefillin because people who wear tefillin are cheats. But on the other hand, you don't necessarily have to believe somebody just because he has a pair of tefillin on, because a person can pretend to be more religious than he actually is.
Is this talking about tefillin that davening, or is this really talking about tefillin people wear all day?
No, it's talking about tefillin, period.
Well, the example of Elisha is he went out to the shoot. It wasn't the...
Right. Okay? However, it's pretty clear from this Tosfot that at the time of the Balei HaTosfot, some people did have tefillin and other people didn't have tefillin. And it's not talking about wearing them all day or not wearing them all day, but because after all, what Tosfos says that in a short period of time when you're davening, you can be careful about your bodily functions and therefore not pass gas or engage in something else which would be unpleasant while you're wearing tefillin. But to tie this down a little bit further, since Mel, you raised the issue of whether I am or not misinterpreting Tosfot, let's take a look at a very long citation on the very next page from the Snot. Let me remind you who the author of the Sefer Mitzvot Gedolot is, and this is, I'll read from the relatively short biography in the old encyclopedia, Jewish encyclopedia, Moses ben Jacob of Cusi. Cusi was a small town in northern France. French Tosafot and codifier, lived in the first half of the 13th century, descendant of a family of distinguished scholars. He is usually cited by the abbreviation Rabban Mikutsi. The correct rendering of the word Mikutsi from Cusi was discovered by Tzunch. Moses' maternal grandfather was Chaim by the Tanano HaKohen of Paris. Nothing is known of Moses' life before he settled in Paris, but led there under Yehuda ben Isaac, the great French Tosafot. He received instruction from a certain Joseph, who cannot be positively identified by name, in either the poet Joseph of Chartres or the Tosafot Yosef ben Baruch. Moses mentions occasionally Simson ben Abraham of Sens and Baruch ben Isaac of Worms, author of the Sefer Truma. It is usually believed, especially the latter, that they were his teachers, although he does not expressly call them such. In 1235, Moses traveled in France, and in 1236 in Spain, lecturing publicly in the synagogues on the prescriptions of Mosaic law, and admonishing his audiences to observe them, at the same time, however, emphasizing the truth that mere observance of the oral law to the neglect of justice and brotherly consideration toward others, irrespective of faith or race, cannot be counted as meritorious. In Spain, he found that a number of Jews had married Christians and Mohammedans, and he succeeded in bringing about their divorce. He knew the French, Spanish, and Arabic languages, and was an eloquent speaker, hence he was called Hadarshan. In 1240, Moses was one of the four rabbis of the Republic Disputation in Paris, who were required to defend the Talmud against the accusations of Domin. Rabbi Yechiel, however, was the only speaker among them. In 1250, Moses finished his Sefer Mitzvot, afterwards called Sefer Mitzvot HaGadol, in order to distinguish it, discriminated from an extract arranged by Isaac ben Korbel and called Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan. The smug of Sefer of Moses of Cusi deals with 365 prohibitions and 248 commandments of the Mosaic law, and the relation of this code to those of the Spanish and Franco-German schools, and especially to Armanides and Philet, has been fully discussed in the Jewish Encyclopedia Law Codification. The smug is written with much clearness as a rich source for the history of halachic literature, as it quotes the miracle numerous rabbinical authorities, and so on. Now let's read from the handout of Moses. So, Kaseda Shinichtavu b'mikra lev t'chila v'yachar kach nefesh, v'achar kach hamamon, kach nistavu achar kach al ha-seder hazeh, u'kshartam la'ot al yodecha, k'neged l'bavecha, v'ayu l'tatachot b'in einecha, k'neged nashecha. The tefillin of the arm is against the heart, and the tefillin of the head is against the eyes, u'kshartam l'muzot t'etecha v'shirecha, k'neged ma'odecha. Kach torashti parashat zu l'goliot Yisrael. I preach this particular section in the various diasporas of Israel, to impress on that each and every person is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah mezuzot. Ba'od dorashti lehem, ki mishesh meyot u'shlosh esrei mitzvot shenistavu liYisrael, from the 613 commandments, Ein lecha shum mitzvah shetehei ot ve'egut. There's no mitzvah which is called a sign and a testimony. Ki im shlosha mitzvot, with the exception of three, v'heim milah v'shabbat u'tfilin. Milah, Shabbat, and Tfilin are the only commandments which are dignified in terms of sign or testimony. Shenichtav v'shlotam ot. They are signs and witnesses to Israel, that they worship our servants of God. Unless he can bring two witnesses that he is indeed a Jew. Therefore, on Shabbat, which is called an oath, or on Yom Tov, which is equated to the Shabbat, a person is relieved of the mitzvah of tefillin. Ki yesh lo shnei edim shehu yehudi. He has two witnesses. Shabbat ve'edut milah. Aval v'chol chayav kol adam lahaniach tefillin, kedei sheyeh lo shnei edim. In order that he have two witnesses, oath tefillin im oath milah. וכל מי שאינו מניח תפילין, אין לו קיום עד אחד שהוא יהודי, ולכך חשבו כמנודע לשמיים בפרקי עורי פסחים, and therefore he's considered as if he's excommunicated from heaven, ואם תאמר מאחר שתפילין עוד בעדות כמו מילה בשבת, מדוע הייתה רפויה ביד ישראל, if it's such an important mitzvah, and it's a testimony, why has it been so neglected by Jews? וכבר פרשו רבינו דבר זה, כל דבר מצווה שלא מסור עצמון עליהם בשעת השמד, עדיין היא רפויה בידן. Any mitzvah which Jews were not willing to sacrifice themselves for at the times of evil edict is neglected by them, כגון תפילין. ולפי ששלושתן עוד ועדות, נשקלו כל אחד כנגד כל התורה כולה. Each one of them is counterbalances the entire Torah. שערי במילה נחלטו עליה 13 בריתות, ובתורה כתב שלוש בריתות, בתורה ותפילין ושבת ישבו יחד בכמה מקומות. They're all equated in many places. ויחד בהם ותיתן להם תורה ומצוות, ואת שבת קדשך הודעת עליהם ותפילין למען תהיה תורת השם בפיך. עוד זאת דרשתי להם. I also preach as follows. כי מה שאמרו בתינו, תפילין צריכים גוף נקי על איש הבעל כנפיים, שלא יישן ולא יפיח בהם, the requirement that a man have a holy body, זהו באדם שמניח כל היום כולו כל המצוותן. That's talking about a person who wears tefillin all day, according to the primary mode of the mitzvah. פן ישכחם עליו, ויעשה בהם דבר שאינו גלוי. He might, in the course of a whole day, do something that is not proper, he'll forget that he's wearing the tefillin. אבל, בשעת תפילה, אין לך רשע שלא יהיה ראוי לתפילין. There's no rasha, no one who's so evil that he can't manage to keep himself in shape for a brief period of time that he's davening. Kal v'chomer misefer Torah shehu mekudash yoter, sheyesh bo kol ha'tukara kula, v'tfilin ein bo kiyum arba parshiyot she'ein betoch or, v'kol ochzim v'Torah v'shat tefila. Everybody touches the Torah during the time of the tefila. She'kol yicholim v'tnehag v'ta'ara v'shat tefila. That all can at least manage to keep themselves clean during the time of the davening. ועוד הביתי להם מה שדרשו רבותינו בפרק כמה דבחרות, ויוקי ויחר בפרשת תפילין למה נאמר, שערי תפילין חובת הגוף הן ונהגין בין בארץ בין בחוץ לארץ. אלא אמר כמצווה זו, do this mitzvah שבשבילה תזכו להיכנס לארץ. On the basis of fulfilling this mitzvah, you will be allowed to come back into the land. עוד אמרו רבותינו במסכת מנחות, כל שאינו מניח תפילין, עובר בשמונה עשה בכל יום, he neglects 8 positive commandments every day, שהרי יש שם 4 פרשיות ובכל אחת יש מצוות עשה של יד ומצוות עשה של ראש. עוד אמרו רבותינו, כל הקורא קריאת שמע בלא תפילין, כאילו מעיד עדות שקר בעצמו. Anyone who recites the שמע without wearing the תפילין is as if he's testifying falsely against himself. עוד אמרו רבותינו כמה דרוש השנה, פושעי ישראל בגופן שנידונים 12 חודש בגיהנום, פושעי ישראל who is condemned to 12 months in hell, קרקפתא דלא מניח תפילין. That is a body who doesn't put on תפילין. פרש קרקפתא גוד גולת. ופרש רבי יעקב כגון שנמנע מתפילין משום מרד וביזוי המצווה, דבריו שהיו לו לומר דרור ענך תפילין, There's no proof that their testimony, which is sort of mollifying, sort of having good work to say to the people who don't put on tefillin, has any basis. Therefore, a person should be careful, because after all, if a man refrains from putting on tefillin, he'll be condemned to 12 months in hell. Od zot arashti lahem, ki yoter chafetz HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'adam rasha sheyaneach tefillin, me'adam tzadik God wants more a person, even an evildoer who puts on tefillin, a slight piece of hyperbole here, than an evil man. Be'ikar tefillin nitzvagu liyot zikaron l'vashayim, ולישרים, דרך פרשיות, ובכל אחד דרך טובה, ויותר צריכים זכר וחיזוק מאותם שגדלו ביראת שמיים כל ימיהם, והבאתי ראיה גדולה וחזקה, כי בתפילין יש 4 פרשיות, וכל אחד כתוב בתותפות, חוץ מאחד שהיא שינה בכתוב כותם לו זיכרון, ולמד שעיקר יהיו תפילים מיותם שצריכים יותר זכר. עוד אמרו רבותינו במצוות מסכת מנחות, כל מי שיש לו תפילים בראשו וגזרו וציצית בבגדו ומזוזב בבגדו, הוא בחזקה שלא יחטא, שנאמר באחות המשולש לא במהרה ינתק. ואומר חונה מלאך השם סביב לירייה ויחלצן כראש מלאך הם מצוות השם החונים סביב אותיו ומזכירים אותו עבודת הבורא. These are the three commandments, those are the מלאכים that are surrounding the man, the commandments that he surrounds himself with, which will remind him of the worship of God. וכן מצינו שם באדם אחד שנמנע מעבירה גדולה על ידי ציציותיו. The famous story of a man who was saved from committing a great sin by virtue of his ציצית שראה ונזכר. ועוד אמרו אותנו, כל המניח תפילין מעריך ימים שנאמר השם עליהם יחיו ויהיו אחר ארבעת אלפים, ויהי אחר 4,995 שנים לבריאת העולם, הייתה סיבה מן השמיים להוכיח, ובשנת תצ"ו הייתי בספרד להוכיחם, ואמץ הקדוש ברוך הוא זרועותיי בחלונות היהודים ובחלונות הרקום בחזין הכוכבים ויתו עלי חסדו ותרגז הארץ ותהי להרדת אלוקים ויעשו תשובות גדולות וקיבלו אלפים ורבבות מצוות תפילין מזוזות וציצית וכן בשאר ארצות הייתי אחר כך נתקבלו דבריי בכל המקומות וביקשו ממנו לכתוב פרשת פרש מצוות בקיצור ואינני שואל איזה מי שלוקח גבוליות ישראל קצה לי וחצור בידי יצליח. Is that clear?
Now, his time,
it's absolutely clear that he was a man who was going around as a preacher to all the different communities to get people warmed up to start putting on tefillin, something which they had refrained from doing. No, I don't know what the historical events that he's talking about are. The point of this, but my whole point here is that it is Mel has some objections from my proof from the Tosfot, but it's clear from the Smag, and there are other sources from the Rosh and other places, that there was a period of time in which large numbers, maybe a majority of Jews, were not putting on tefillin, and it required some revivalist movement, like the author of the Sefer Mitzvot Gedolot, to convince people to start putting on tefillin again.
Like the Lubavitch now, right?
For example, he went around to all the various communities. He found Jews who were intermarrying with Christians, and he managed, as he says, to get the marriages broken up. But as far I want to concern myself at the moment not with the general issue of revivalist movements, but with the fact that there was a period of time in which tefillin was indeed not observed. He just mentions the European communities, the Sephardic and the Ashkenazi communities, both for a period of time were not observing tefillin. The reason that I make such a fuss over this is because it seems to me this statement is just obvious from the evidence, right? I vividly remember when I was at some evening together with Chaim Hillel-Dolf Bar Sasson, a very distinguished professor Jewish history at the time, and which I just made this point. I'm not talking about some discussion in the early 60s, and he just absolutely objected. I mean, it just shocked me no end that someone could maintain that there was the Jews throughout all history always put on tefillin. He had some ulterior reason for believing that, and maybe we will discuss this as we go on, but it's clear from the evidence that he was wrong. And that indeed there was the period of time in which a large portion of the Jewish community was not putting on tefillin. And it's not hard to understand why. I mean, certainly in the Ashkenazi communities in which the people were dispersed, if you moved into a new neighborhood and their own, it was just not available. There was no soap there available. With a great deal of effort, you might be able to bring one Sefer Torah into a community which serviced a large crowd, but there's absolutely no way of having enough tefillin made or imported during periods of time in which communication was disrupted and trade was disrupted. That is, in the medieval period, it's quite easy to understand that that they just were not available.
The timeline, like, we had one that's renewable with the deal, and not everybody went out by the deal, so they said, for you, the one that's on.
Right, but you can't do that with filling during the docking.
Get around everything.
Right, okay. And by the way, once we understand this, then some of the issues that are being raised now, we can understand, and we can also understand how it's possible that there could be a conflict between Rashi and Rebbe Natam as to the actual structure of Tefillin. I mean, if there was a complete, it's not impossible that if there was continuity, there could have been some error crept in and the issue of which parsha, what the order of the parsha was. But if, in fact, Tefillin weren't generally available and they have to be reintroduced, then we can understand that it's conceivable that Rashi and Rabbi Natan might have opposite opinions as to the order of the parshiyot in the Tefillin. Also, the subject of tonight's discussion now becomes intelligible, namely, there's a discussion in the Gemara as to whether Tefillin are to be worn on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. We'll come to that. The next page in tonight's handout in a minute. But since there was a period of time in which people weren't wearing tefillin at all, once they accepted the halachic decision in the Gemara that you don't put on tefillin during Shabbos, and by extension that you don't put on tefillin during Yatid, then the issue arose as to whether or not you put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. And on this, there was a conflict, as Professor Katz points out, between the Ashkenazic practice and the Sephardic practice. But first, let's go back to the bit. Yes?
Excuse me, to say a question. But can you point out what particular period in history, approximately plus or minus 50 years, was the period, and what historical event actually was that?
Well, what we can point out is that the Moshe of Kutzi was writing in the middle of the 13th century, 1230, 1240, 1250. And at that particular time, he, as he congratulates himself, was able to revive the mitzvah of Tefillin. So he was able to go around, as you say, as the Lubavitch do, and persuade large members of the Jewish community to start putting on tefillin again. So the answer to the period in which tefillin was revived, we can fix pretty well. Namely, it was sometime in the middle of the 13th century. But the period as to when Jewish communities were not wearing tefillin or not, that's a little more difficult to fix. The Gemara itself seems to indicate that even in Talmudic times, not all people were wearing tefillin. That was the point of the Gemara's statement that every mitzvah which people weren't willing to sacrifice their lives for became weak in their hands. Okay. Now let's take a look at so that's the answer. The answer is revival of tefillin was the middle of the 13th century. For periods prior to that, there were Jewish communities in which people didn't put on tefillin, and probably just because they weren't available, and then once they weren't available, there was no tradition to do it, and therefore there was no reason to revive it until a spirit of revivalism came into play. All right. Now, the third page in tonight's handout, we'll just mention briefly, Lobit Tfilin, and you shouldn't go out on Shabbat in Tfilin, not only according to the person who says that you are not supposed to put in Tfilin on Shabbat, Ella Apilu Lamandi Amar Shabbat Zvan Tfilin, who lo yetze. Vilma Oti Letuye Vil Shutarabi, because he may be tempted to carry the Tfilin in the Shutarabi. Let's skip to the Gemara in Erevin, the next paragraph. Uman Shamit Le Shabbat Zvan Tfilin, Rabbi Akiva. Who says that you're supposed to put on tefillin on Shabbat? Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya, the Shamarta et ha-chukah hazot l'moladah miyamim yamima, yamim v'lo lelot, miyamim v'lo kol hayamim, rak l'shabbat v'yamim tovim, the Rabbi Yosef Haglil. that you're supposed to wear tefillin not on all, not at night, and not at all days. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo ne'amar chukah zu ela le'inyan Pesach bilvad. V'ol le'tan Pesach amil mitzvah tasei lemad lo k'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came in the muki of Pesach lo. Now, the Iker could Rabbi Yamin Yavar, Rabbi Yamin Yavar, Kol Mekom Shema Hishava Pen, etc., etc. At any event, there's a dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi according to one opinion in the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva says that even on Shabbat you're supposed to put on tefillin. And Tosfot, from the bottom, one doesn't require to put in tefillin on Chol HaMoed. You don't need an additional sign. Because after all, you're prohibited from doing unnecessary work on Chol HaMoed. Furthermore, in Chol HaMoed, you're going to be sitting in the sukkah inside, in the sukkah, Pesach, and in the Chol HaMoed of Pesach, you're not going to be able to eat bread. Therefore, there are two very clear signs, even during Chol HaMoed, that something special is going on. V'chein pasku b'hilchot gedolot. And that was the psak of the halachot gedolot. Aval Yerushalmi mashma that tzarich lahaniach. From Yerushalmi, the implication is that you're supposed to put on tefillin. The garasahu gavra, the avat tefillin, person who is making tefillin, otel kamedu rabbi chaninel, shadvei lekamedu rabbi bachanamalei lesakwa, zil havle yitfilach, ve'at ketov locha. You'll give him your tefillin and you write yourself, v'tam kyotei v'adam tefillin la'atzmo. Person was allowed to write tefillin for himself on Chol HaMoed, otel kamedu rabbi malizuktu v'la'ehidu chaninel, v'abid galedu rabbi kyotei v'adam tefillin la'atzmo, v'la ferim lo, v'ak patel la'niach perush ma'amid ma'ashne shotzo la'niach l'achar HaMoed. Aval tzorach HaMoed, you'll be since one is allowed to write, do the work of writing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, for using the tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and it would not be permissible to work on Chol HaMoed for the purpose of achieving something after Yantar, that proves, says Tosfot, that there is a positive commandment to put tefillin on Chol HaMoed. V'cheini madavar, and that's a good proof, Tosfot says. Od nevi in rayom esei pekam, basic yom eshalken, etc. Okay. So that is more or less the halachic background. The halachic background is that there's some proof from the Yerushalmi that Tosfos just brought that you are supposed to put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, and that was the Ashkenazi custom. The Sephardic custom was to refrain from putting on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Okay? And that was the situation more or less up through the 13th century or thereabouts. Just simply a well-known halakhic dispute which reflected a difference in practice between the Ashkenazic and the Sephardic communities as far as tefillin and Chol HaMoed is concerned. Now let's read the Zohar.
So the Zohar was written in Spain, so it's responsive to the Spanish custom?
Not necessarily, but in this instance, yes. Okay, so this is the Zohar. I'm sorry that I don't have, it's not on my computer, this particular extract of the Zohar. The Reach Shmanecha told him, Amar HaMnuna Saba. What does it mean in Shir HaShirim, the Reach Shmanecha told him? Amar Rav Amnuna Saba, Ilein Inun Yomim Tovim Dekrin Tovim. These are the holidays which are called good. The Inun Tfilin, the Reisha. They are the Tfilin of the head. Inun Tfilin Da Kadosh Baruch Hu Manachla. That is the Tfilin that God wears. Ba'od Dekrin Tovim, Begain the Inun Naharim Bereisha the Kitshavik. Because they emanate rays from the head of the Kidsha Ilah, of the whole upper holy one. And b'chol atar yamim tovim inun tefillin d'reisha d'akadosh baruch hu manachla. In all places, the yamim tovim are the tefillin that God wears. Cholosh ha-moed lo ikre yom tov, but chol ha-moed, which is not called yom tov, ilein tefillin d'dro. These are the tefillin of the hand, of the arm. The halet lay the siharami garmai klun, for the moon has no light of its own, elam in the Hebrew the yom tov. but rather from the rays of Yom Tov. Tilin de droa diu tila shel yad, lo nehira, the tefillin of the arm, which is the tefillin of the hand, does not shine, el amigav nehiru de tila shel rosh, except on the basis of the light of the tefillin of the rosh. Tilin de resha yomim tovim, the tefillin of the head are the holidays, tilin de droa kol ha-shomoy, the tefillin of the arm are kol ha-moy. Shapir ka'amar ha-pamuna v'hachi, ikat kohod, you need to celebrate Chol HaMoed with joy, the same as Yom Tov. And for this reason, these days, which are the tefillin of the Master of the Universe, asur la'an chasha'ar tefillin. One is not allowed to put on other tefillin. Because these are the days in which these tefillin are the upper tefillin emanate down to the heads of Israel. The asur la'agwa tefillin demari alma me'alvei shoen. A person, you're not allowed to remove the tefillin of the Master of the Universe from their heads. The ancha tefillin achinim, to put on other tefillin. The inum dugma v'yuknon l'tapa, because they are just meant to be images of from below. Matal l'malka d'boyla l'le'avdeh, and because it's an analogous to a king who wants to make some protection to his servant. Amar le avid ki v'yukna d'chotman l'le'i, make an image of my seal. V'kol zamna v'yu d'yukna v'yachazi alach k'len yazon v'yatchali mena. Anyone who sees your seal will be frightened and respect you. Etc. Let me just pass down. If this servant, Dachi Chutma Dushpanka Ila, rejects the seal of the certification from above, from the king, again Hahu Chutma Diyu Avid, and replaces it with his own seal that he made it himself, Vadai Bar Katalati, certainly he deserved death. So not only, as you say, the Zohar doesn't have to bring any sources, because after all he's. This is not an argumentation, but this is a revealed doctrine, remember? And according to the Kabbalah, says the author of the Zohar, since the holidays are the tefillin of God, and so long as it's an ordinary day, you can make up your own sign, human sign. But if you remove God's own sign and replace it with a human sign, you're deserving, you've committed a capital offense. Pretty strong language. No, he said, you don't put on any tefillin.
Like Chol HaMoed,
that's right. So therefore, on both Chol HaMoed and on Yom Tov, says the Zohar, anyone who puts on tefillin during these days is guilty of a capital offense. Because he's replacing God's tefillin with human tefillin. He's taking this phrase in the Gemara, which is, after all, a matter of dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as to whether there's a requirement of putting on tefillin during Shabbos or Yom Tov. Gemara doesn't mention Chol HaMoed, and there's some discussion as to, because Shabbos and Yom Tov are an oath, etc., etc., but he's the author of the Zohar, has now elevated this somewhat mystical sounding, but rather legal discussion in the Gemara and Erevin, and given it some theosophical and theological import, saying that the holidays themselves are the tefillin that God wears and shines down onto you, and it's as if you're removing the sign that God has imposed upon you and replacing it with an ordinary human sign, and therefore you're guilty of capital offense.
In Pesach, he mentioned, you have the Lachman Yoshev Tzadikim Yoshim Adasei and the Sheikh, and the tefillin that you and I have, they don't have to.
Don't
when did that originate?
I don't know. But now, what Professor Katz is going to try to discuss in this article is what impact this statement of the Zohar, which, as Mr. Weinstein says, of course, like all Zoharic statements, don't require any proof or argumentation, what impact that actually had on practice. Okay, so now let's read from Professor Katz's article, starting with... No, this is from the handout of last time, so we're no, this was not translated, unfortunately. Question?
What page is that?
No, I was just reading that.
Neither do I. But we'll see why. From America, but my grandfather's. Okay, let's read now from page 102. My page 210, but page 102 of Professor Katz's article. Rav Yitzchak Karo, that's the Rav Yosef Karo's uncle, cited as a change in the custom, on the Sephardic custom, from one extreme to another, the custom not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, he attributes to the Zohar. B'chol Sfarad, nohagim b'chol hadinim v'chol inyanei isur, v'heter k'sfarat ha-rosh, they all were following the opinion of the Rosh, v'hu haya manicha, he used to wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, u'mavarech aleihem, u'misha'a shematzu ha-mamar ha-hu, the moment that they found this statement in the Zohar that I just read to you, lo henichum od kol hachachamim v'kol hakehilot ein gam echad. They immediately stopped wearing tefillin, and not a single community in Spain wore tefillin on the basis of this statement that we just read in the Zohar. Im amnam ne'ekar min ha-kavu al pi ha-Zohar, if indeed it was true that a fixed custom in Spain was uprooted by the Zohar, that's proof that the scholars of Spain attributed to the Zohar an extreme authority. On this statement that there was a change in the Sephardic custom on the Zohar, Rabbi Yosef Karo also, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, also repeated the same statement, even though he mentions in the same breath the opinion of the Rashba, who stated, the Rashba simply said as an earlier Sephardic custom that we don't wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed. And it is true, there is no evidence that people wore tefillin during Chol HaMoed until the time of the Rosh. Remember, the Rosh moved from Germany to Spain, and therefore it would be a mistake, says Professor Katz, to attribute an original Sephardic custom to the Rosh, who after all followed his own original customs, which were Ashkenazic, and may very well have imposed, by virtue of his personality, some of his customs to override the existing Sephardic customs. V'yesh ha'glayim l'davar she'amnam min ha'gaya shelo l'hanukha. There's certain proof that the custom in Spain was not to put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. From sources from the Tekupat HaGaonim, the statements are that it is prohibited. The Baal HaLachot B'Golot tells about a certain Chacham of Yaakov ben Chaviv, who was asked about tefillin and said it's prohibited. Why? Because they made it like Shabbat ben Yom Tov. And according to the opinion of the Gaonim, which prohibits it, also we find in the Sefer Ha'itim, according to Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona, and then from another side, there's proof from just ordinary discussion that from Rabbeinu Hamiri that the Sfarad Mahadu Shelo Lahaniach. All right. So according to Professor Katz, first of all, this is an exaggeration on the part of Rabbi Yitzchak Karo. There was indeed a prior Sephardic custom not to wear tefillin. The Rush indeed wore tefillin because that was the Ashkenazi custom. To some extent, those students of the Rush in Spain who followed his practice rather than the practice of their forefathers might have been wearing tefillin during the Chol HaMoed, but it is an exaggeration, says Professor Katz, to say that the Zohar completely uprooted an existing custom and changed it from one extreme to another. But the Shulchan Aruch, let's read a little bit further, decides pretty decisively in favor of the... Professor Katz brings a whole slew of argumentations in, on his pages 104 and 105 between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim, as each camp defending its own opinion whether you should or should not put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Let's turn to Professor Katz's page 106. Even Rabbi Yaakov Bal HaTurim, the son of the Rush, mentioned that some have doubts if Chol HaMoed is the time of tefillin, but he concludes, Adami Abi HaRash Sal Hayom Ani Chamu Mubarech Alein. My father, the Rush, used to put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed and make a bracha. There's no proof, and it doesn't seem reasonable to think that just because the Rush behaved this way, all doubts will be removed. Rabbi Yitzchak Abora, the son of Meir HaYudalid, Rabbi Yitzchak Abora at the end of the 14th century, says, that everybody put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, but some, out of doubt, refrain from making the bracha. Bahur should be made kol hachachamim ha'eile lo musam leiv ledevei hazohar. During this entire period, no attention whatsoever was paid to the Zohar.